Hey everyone, how you doing? This is Amon Green, the Green Bay Packers all-time leading rusher, and you're listening to The Average Cheese, hosted by Dell and Todd, two lifelong Packer fans talking about their favorite team, the 13-time champion Green Bay Packers. Go Pack, go!
What the hell's going on out here? Everybody's grabbing out there, nobody's touching.
Trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win.
So welcome to episode 150 of the Average Cheese Podcast. It's the sesquicentennial episode. Thanks to Rhonda and the folks at R&M Management. Thanks to Dwight at ddgcustoms.com. And thanks to Dan and the folks at Bob Anderson Builders. Peter, it's episode 150. It's player number 50. It's one of Todd's shitless players. It's A.J. Hawk.
It isn't.
Oh, Rich Wingle?
No, it isn't. But it is a linebacker and one of my favorite linebackers from the late 80s and early 90s. So this guy was always going to be number 50. Johnny Holland, really underrated linebacker. Let's talk a little bit about Johnny Holland. Texas guy, played quarterback in high school. So it's a really, really good athlete, and then moved to safety and then linebacker at Texas A&M, and was the Packers' second round pick in the 1987 draft, and very quickly became the starter at inside linebacker as a rookie, and was known as much as a pass coverage guy because he was quite small, but was excellent pass coverage guy, made the all rookie team in 87, just a really good player very quickly for the Packers. And one of the things I remember is when you get to like 1989 and everybody talks about, you know, that great, the Mikowski year, if you like, in 1989, that Packers linebacking core, Johnny Holland and Brian Noble in the middle, John Anderson left outside linebacker, Tim Harris right outside linebacker. That linebacking core in the 3-4 is probably as good as linebacking core as the Packers have ever had in playing the 3-4.
That's really good. I didn't realize that. Holy smokes.
Holland would go on to lead the Packers in tackles for six consecutive seasons from 88 to 93. Had 100 tackles in each of those seasons and led the Packers in tackles in 92 and 93 with over 100 tackles in each. In fact, in 93, he had 145 tackles. Well, at 92, he herniated a disc in his neck, and that was the second such injury that he'd had, and then that ended his career after the 1993 season. But just an excellent, excellent inside linebacker for the Packers. And like I say, an underrated guy on teams that kind of played just before the team really took off in the Holmgren Favre era. But a guy that people should look up and go and look at YouTube and stuff, because Johnny Holland was a super, super player. And then after he finished playing for the Packers, he was an assistant coach for the Packers for 5 years. And it was actually an assistant coach when the Packers won Super Bowl 31. So he got a Super Bowl ring. And then spent a number of years as assistant coach around the league, teams like the Seahawks and the Lions and the Texans and various places. And it's been assistant coach at the 49ers for the last 7 years, and he's currently their linebackers coach. And pretty good. So back to his time as a Packers player, played in 103 games, started in 100. Like I say, he had 100 tackles in six consecutive seasons, also notched up 9 interceptions, 15 fumble recoveries, 3.5 sacks, and was inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame in 2001. And one of my favorite players, I think, because he's one of those guys that could be easily overlooked, you know, was never looked on, you know, never got star recognition and all of that stuff, but was a really, really good player.
I'm not disappointed that it wasn't A.J. Hawk. We'll hear from Todd about A.J. Hawk maybe later on after the season is over. All right, so we have questions from friends, Todd, and it's for you. Comes from our friend Rob from across the pond. He says, as a minority shareholder, now Rob is already.
What is already, that? Let's hard stop.
He has claimed ownership to your shithouse team.
Ooh.
He is a minority shareholder to his shithouse football club. We can't start.
I sell shares. I haven't seen any money. I sell shares.
Stop a minute. I didn't know that Todd was selling shares.
I didn't either.
But it's publicly owned, just like the Packers. Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't seen any money from Little Rob, so he's gonna have to take that title away. Sorry.
So until you
see... You're not a minority shareholder yet. You could be.
I love this. This is really taking on
It's getting
on
a
life.
Little bit more and more. It's getting worse.
Yes.
The more that...
I do want, if I send my money to you, I want a gold embossed, very much like the Packers give out. I want one of those nice fold-out things that it comes in. And I also want to be able to be at the shareholders meeting.
Exactly.
Just saying.
It's the shitholders meeting, just to clarify. So, it's not the shareholders.
All right. So, let me get on to Rob's question. Whether he's a minority shareholder at this point is irrelevant. He says that he didn't say you, he said we can't start building this club.
Oh, geez.
Without some coaches. Rob's all in.
Yeah, and he must be a majority shareholder, not a minority. He thinks he's a majority shareholder.
I mean, right, depending he's on like how on many the board shares of director, sold.
Board of directors. Ooh, I didn't do a front office. Ooh,
start thinking.
That's next. That's next.
Okay. I mean, we know who your GM is. Your co-GM with you.
Yes.
All right. So let's get on to the question. Who is the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and the defensive coordinator of your team?
Also, just to clarify, it's not shit house. It's the official name is the shit list.
I'm sorry that I misspoke. Let's go
and
back.
And my answer to Rob is going to be, I am not going to reveal my head coach, offensive coordinator, or defensive coordinator until I reveal my 53.
You're 53.
Yeah,
okay.
53 shit list.
Wow. There's a, it's 53
I
guys.
I can't reveal that. I can't reveal that right now. They have been selected. I will tell you that. So you'll have to stay tuned. I don't know when we're going to do the official episode, the shit list episode, but when we do, I will reveal coaching staff at that time. Excellent. I appreciate it.
And Rob, we love you. Thanks for the question, even though it didn't get answered today.
Correct.
Injuries, we talked about them in episode 149. Let's talk a little bit about them here. Jair Alexander, haven't heard. They did a mini, like, weird press conference thing with Jair last week, and he was like, if I can't put my best foot forward, I'm not going to play. He ate a lot of shit for that. It's time, Jair. It's time to come back. We need
That's why players should never, like, they should never
comment on their own injuries.
Never. Even the slightest thing that you say gets twisted around.
Aaron Jones, Christian Watson. No updates yet. We're recording on a Tuesday, so we don't know. We'll just move on. The Packers play the Tampa Bay Bucks. Peter, little Tampa Bay history.
Yes, a series that just goes back to 1977. The Bucks were an expansion team in 76. And the Packers lead the series 34-21-1. And the Packers are well ahead in the series at home, 20-8, including the 17-6 record at Lambeau Field. So, yeah, that's the short piece of it. There's a couple of games that I like in the series. Packers scored 55 points against the Bucks in 1983, including 49 points in the first half, 7 touchdowns, which is tied for the NFL record. And the 1985 game that was played in the snow at Lambeau Field, and Dale, we've talked about this before. We talked about this the very first time
we chatted. Yeah.
The game was played in the snow at Lambeau Field in 1985. There'd been 12 inches of snow, and there was 4 inches more during the game. Packers won it 21-0. The videos, you know, the game's there on YouTube, and it's incredible to watch the players play in the snow. The Bucks were wearing white jerseys, and you can hardly see the Bucks in the white jerseys. But the Packers put up more than 500 yards of offense in that game. The Bucks had just 65, a quarterbacked by future Hall of Fame quarterback Steve Young before he went to the 49ers. The other thing I remember from that game, Alfonso Carica. Do you remember him playing defensive end?
I do. 78, I want to say.
Had four sacks in that game.
I get that Tampa Bay is a, you know, southern climate team. I don't remember this game specifically. How did the Packers end up with 500 yards and the Buccaneers on the same field only end up with 65? I'm going to assume it's because they were a passing team. And they couldn't throw
guess.
The ball?
I want to say that, I mean, Steve Young was sacked a lot. So they lost a lot of yardage through sacks. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there were a few turnovers in this game. I think the Packers turned the ball over a few times, else they would have had even more than the 21-0 result. Probably worth going back and looking at. Like I say,
I feel like I need to watch that game now.
I don't know if this guy played in that game, but I remember growing up, I was a big running. Remember just like the 80s was full. Like every team had like their feature running back. Eric Rett. Remember Eric Rett?
For the Buccaneers?
Yeah.
I remember that name. I cannot
picture. Am I right or am I wrong, Peter?
Oh, you're right. He played for the Bucs, but
probably my favorite Tampa Bay.
It would be a few years after that.
He was awesome.
I don't remember the years, but I would imagine that the Bucs featured back would have been James Wilder at that time. That
sounds right.
And probably, again, without looking, I'm plucking names out, but probably Leroy Selman was still playing for the Bucs then.
You think so? Because he was like mid-70s too, so that would have been back half of his career at that point.
Yeah, if he was still, he was their first draft pick back in 76, so he may well have still been playing for the Bucs. I don't know off the top of my head.
How bad were the 83 Tampa Bay Buccaneers if they gave up 55 points to the 83 Packers? That must have been a really bad team. Now, I know they were an expansion franchise, but they started in 76. So it wasn't like they were in their second year and they were just developing their team. What's the record, Peter, do you know, for points in a game by a Packer team?
It's 57.
57. Okay.
So the Pack against the Lions in, I don't know what year. I want to say like that's the 1940s or 1950s.
So was Bart Starr just a gentleman? He didn't want to, after the 49 points in the first half, he's like, nah, we're shutting it down.
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
It does. Ron Wolf was a part of that initial franchise. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And he always said that was part of his learning experience, because the Bucs, well, they lost every game their first year, and they may have lost every game their second year or came close to losing every game their second year. So, yeah, that was a learning experience for Ron Wolf, who'd been at the Raiders under Al Davis, went to the Bucs, went back to the Raiders, and then his career. And as I said before, I think for most people in most jobs, there is a learning curve. And that's why, when you get young head coaches, for example, you can't expect them to be the best coach they're ever going to be in their rookie or second seasons. They learn just like players learn. And like I say, Ron Wolf always said that was one of the biggest learning experiences that he had. Santana Dotson was the one name that came to my mind as kind of probably the best player that the Packers have picked up from the Buccaneers. Super defensive tackle, that Super Bowl 31 team, as we know. Good player.
And he did a lot of local radio stuff here, Santana Dotson, well after he was done playing. Coaching staff, Todd Bowles is the head coach. Is he also the defensive coordinator?
Yeah, because they don't have an official defensive coordinator. And, of course, that's the role that he had prior to becoming the head coach. So,
are their offensive coordinators Dave Canales? I've never heard of that that guy. He took over Byron Leftwich, who I thought was going to be the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There's guys on this list I don't know. I didn't know Rodney Pete had a brother. Rodney Pete's brother is the running backs coach. Did he play in the NFL? Skip Pete? There's a lot of guys on this list that I wouldn't know. Tom Moore. I do remember that name, Tom Moore. Tom Moore is almost like the former coaches in this league that stay around as consultants. Tom Moore is that guy, right? Like, I'm old. I don't want to coach every day. I'm going to be a consultant. I would like that gig, even though I've never coached a down of football in the NFL. No defense coordinator, like we said. Larry Foote, who was a pretty good linebacker for a little bit. Did he play with the Cardinals? Packers who were with the Tampa Bay Bucs. Joe Barry. Is Joe Barry going to be like the Corey Ballantyne of coaches?
There he is again.
He was the linebackers coach from 2001 to 2006. And then they took him back for 2009 because they probably didn't have anybody else. They're like, okay, Joe Barry's unemployed. We don't have a guy. We'll take him back. Rich Bisaccia, Todd's favorite. Also special teams guy for the Tampa Bay Bucs for a very long time. Todd shakes his head.
Two coaches that are on my hot seat.
Packers assistant special teams coach. Byron Storer was also an assistant special teams coach. In 2010, your career's at a real standstill. If you were the assistant special teams coach in 2010, and here we are in 2023, and you're still the assistant special teams coach, you should go back to teaching or something else because you're just stealing money at that point. All right. What else? No former Packers on the Tampa Bay roster and no former Bucks on the Packers roster. Peter, of all the 2023 draft picks, who's your favorite? Who's your favorite Tampa Bay Buccaneer?
My favorite player on the list isn't the best player on the list, but I liked Savoisier Dennis. out of Pittsburgh. I thought that he would have been a nice pick for somebody in the later rounds of the draft. Envisaged him for some reason that he'd end up at the Packers being a kind of the third or fourth inside linebacker and special teams guy. So I liked him. Kalijah Kancey at the top of the draft was one of those guys that kind of split opinion because of his size. Around about six feet for interior defensive lineman. Some people really liked him because of his speed and explosiveness. Other people just didn't like his size. So we'll wait to see whether or not that turns out. It's probably worth mentioning that the Packers, of course, did a draft day trade with the Bucks on the second day of the draft. So the Packers had pick 48, which they gave up for picks 50 and a six-round pick, and the Packers ended up with Jaden Reed and Carl Brooks. So they did a pretty good deal turning pick 48 into those two guys.
I think that Servassier Dennis should just be on the all-name team. I don't care if he's any good at football. Tampa Bay is 6-7, just like the Packers. And when we talked about them early on in the season, did we all pick them as a win, as a Packers win? I kind of feel like we did in our preseason thing. They're better than I expected, to be honest. I didn't expect them to be 6-7. They're in a very bad division in the NFC South. So they're right there sort of at the top, if you can call a 6-7 team the top of their division. Do we want them to win? I haven't looked at all the playoff scenarios. Do we want them to win their division?
The good news here is, so they're 6-7. The Saints are 6-7. The Falcons are 6-7. The good news here, if the Packers win out, then clearly they'll beat the Bucks, and the Bucks then can't get to 10 wins. The Falcons and Saints have to play each other again. So only one, if the Packers beat the Bucks, only one of those teams can get to 10 wins anyway. So that kind of helps the Packers. I guess what you want to try and avoid is a tie with, let's say, a 9-8 tie with the Falcons. That's the one that you, if you want anybody to get to 10 wins, it's the Falcons, because the Packers don't have, you know, are losing the head-to-head tiebreaker with the Falcons.
They've won their last two games, much like the New York Giants, so they're sort of on a roll. They've beaten the Panthers and the Falcons. I mean, the Falcons is not a bad win for them. I mean, that's a division rival. It's an important game for them. We'll see how things go. On offense, Todd, what are your thoughts on Baker Mayfield?
I mean, I don't think, you know, Baker Mayfield is going to be an all-pro anytime soon or possibly ever in his career, but I think he's put together a workman style. I think he's battled through some off the field issues. He's was a member of the Cleveland Browns. That's always difficult, but he's a serviceable quarterback. He's smart. He understands the game. He can get explosive, you know, at times. I have a lot of respect for him. I think he's a decent quarterback in the NFL. No one to look past.
I think that he is the victim of very high expectations.
Oh, absolutely.
The media, whatever, whoever, thought that he was going to be more than he was. He was a very good college quarterback. He won games. He was entertaining to watch. And sometimes that pushes you above where you may be as a professional player. Mike Evans, still a good wide receiver. Chris Godwin, still there. It's interesting that they haven't gotten younger. We were talking about Mike Evans and Chris Godwin when Tom Brady was the quarterback. They don't have anybody coming through and breaking through. Todd, you talked about this, how you got to have a guy. You know what I mean? You got to keep drafting a guy to come after the guy. When I look at the list, Peter, of the guys that they drafted, they didn't draft any. They drafted a guy in the sixth round. Like, they're not even trying to get a younger guy. I don't know. I'm a little bit critiquing their offense. I said this last week. They don't have a skilled guy that's like, there's no Davante Adams. There's no guy like that. Who scares you, Todd, out of their offensive players?
I would have to go with Mike Evans. I think he's a tough matchup, just his size alone.
Because he's big,
I
think
it's going to pose a lot of problems. Carrington Ballantyne, I think, is the only one that they could probably match up with him. We'll see if Jair Alexander comes back. Maybe they put him on him for a while and see how it goes. Maybe Stokes, if he comes back. I don't know. He's definitely a matchup problem.
Peter, what's the biggest strength that the Bucs have on offense?
I think that they're not one-dimensional, right? They're not an offense that, you know, you just described it. They're not an offense that necessarily scares you, but they can move the ball on the ground. Rashad White, whilst he's only averaging 3.7 yards of carry, they're pretty consistent in moving the ball on the ground, and White catches a lot of passes coming out of the backfield. I think the single player that worries you the most or scares you the most is Mike Evans, right? Because he's super consistent. So game in, game out. You know, he's going to catch his passes. He's going to have near 100 yards receiving. Does it game in, game out? And is a red zone goal line threat. That would be the one that would scare me more than anything else. And I think totally agree with what you said about Baker Mayfield. And people forget that he took the Browns to the playoffs in 2020. They beat the Steelers and very nearly beat Kansas City in Kansas City. So he's not a quarterback to be trifled with, but I think you've got to get pressure on him and get consistent pressure on him like the Packers didn't really do this past week.
On defense, as I look at this roster, again, Vita Vea, Antoine Winfield, Levante Davis, Shaq Barrett, these are guys we were talking about 3 years ago. Now, they're still good players. It's just really strange to me that there is no breakthrough guy. Maybe there is, Peter. You know these guys better, the young guys better than I do, but it's the same guys. Like, it's interesting that they're still winning games with guys who are, I don't want to say they're past their prime because they're not. They're clearly still decent players in the league. But there's no young starter. There's no young talent on this team.
Yeah, no, I guess that Yaya Diaby is the, you know, the outside linebacker who's got 5 sacks would be that guy, the closest to that guy. It was a third-round pick this year. Yeah, no, I agree. And it seems that way across the roster. And that probably accounts for why they're ranking in the 20s in both offense and defense.
I have to go back to this. Do you know that Mike Evans has never had a season under 1,000 yards in his career ever? That's some consistency. And it's not like he's played in the league for 3 years. He's been in the league almost 10 years. I don't give Mike Evans enough credit. Special teams, Chase McLaughlin, decent legs, missed 2 field goals on the season, not missed an extra point. Jake Kamada is averaging 50 yards a punt. 50. Does he lead the league? He's got to, right?
It'll be close.
All right. The Packers are 18th in offense, 19th in defense. They haven't. Actually, their defense has gotten worse. They keep dropping down every week. The Bucs are 23rd overall in offense and 27th in defense. The Packers are favored by 3.5. The over-under is 42. Peter, it's your turn. Score prediction.
I think the Packers bounce back this week. I think it's going to be a tight game again. Just about every game the Packers have played this season has been pretty tight, other than the first Detroit game and the opening game against the Bears. I think this will be another tight game. But I think the Packers are going to pull this one out 24-17.
I'll go next. I think the Swedish meatball misses a bunch of kicks in this game. And the Packers win. They still win. They cover 27-21. Todd?
I will go with, if I'm Tampa Bay, I already know my game plan is to run the football against the 31st ranked run defense. So I think there's going to be a lot of that going on. I don't see the Packers. I'm going with my gut. I don't think the Packers win this game. I think they lose 23-17. So that would be the under?
23-17 would be the under. Yes. Under. And clearly the Packers don't cover if they lose.
Yeah, I think they're, I don't know. From what I saw, you know, against the Giants, and the Giants are pathetic. I mean, let's be honest. They do have Saquon Barkley, but let's be honest. They're pathetic. I just don't see things turning around.
That's sad. You're supposed to be the optimist.
Sorry. It's a short week for them, too. So I don't know.
All right. Anything else, Peter, before we go?
Nothing for me.
All right. So thanks for listening to episode 150, the Average Cheese Podcast, the Johnny Holland episode.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. Go Pack Go.